Hello again, basketball gamers, and welcome to episode number 227 of the NLSC podcast. Am I doing it right? It's been a couple of weeks since I've done this, so I'm a little rusty, but hopefully that's what we normally do. Should have gone back and listened to the old shows, I guess, and just to make sure I get it right. I think I did, though. But this is the NLSC podcast, your weekly source for discussion here at the NLSC. And I am Andrew, with you as always, webmaster administrator, and I do a couple of other things around the site. I'm joined, as I always am, by Ben, also known as Arcane, in the forum.
Hey, everyone. Good to be back after a couple of weeks' hiatus. And yeah, you did the intro right this time.
So yeah, I looked up the number, so that helped for a start. But just in case anyone is wondering, I did post a couple of notes about it on our social media. Basically, another case of schedules not lining up. We did end up taking the first week off. I was a little bit under the weather after going out and partying hearty for my birthday a few weeks back. And didn't really feel up to recording a podcast. And you and Kenny were, I think, also busy as well. And then we also had a storm got in the way last week. And
we couldn't record. Just right before, probably about 20 minutes before recording, or maybe even half an hour beforehand, a bit of a storm kicked in. So, and I didn't feel like getting struck by lightning twice. So
we couldn't record then, obviously. So ended up postponing it because we have been recording Sunday nights just to make sure we've got all the week's news in the bag so that we can talk about. But nevertheless, we are back on the air this week. We don't like to miss weeks. We had a pretty good run last year, Ben. We didn't miss a week last year, but we have missed a few this year. But not like the month we took off in 2015. We unfortunately missed a few too many shows that year.
Yeah, I think, you know, given the circumstances, it was acceptable, you know, for us to sort of work out on a few things. But yeah, it was.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, illness for one thing. There was no recording one week when I got back from Orlando. Speaking of storms rolling in, that's the funny thing. Did you notice that when you were in Orlando? I guess at this point we probably can mention that you actually got to go over to Orlando this year.
Yeah, back in May, I had the opportunity, and part to do with the fact that your passport needed renewing as well. So, I'd like to thank EA for the opportunity back in May. Around the 15th to the 22nd, I was over there, I got to experience one of the community events where it was playtesting and giving feedback and that. Got to finally meet some of the staff and dev team and community managers that I've known for quite a while on that, and it was an awesome experience. You know, just sort of trying to take everything in and trying to be as productive as possible and contribute as many ways as I can. And it was also an interesting experience, like, because a lot of playtesting was actually on Xbox One consoles. And
right,
not having touched the console before, and especially the controller, it was a bit of a learning curve in that sort of aspect. So
I actually had that because the first day for the NBA Live 16 event, when I went over 2 years ago, we ended up in the PS4 room up in the conference room, but we started in the testing room downstairs, which I think you were at. You said, and that's where they got Xbox and they got PS4 up. They had PS4 set up upstairs when we went up there. But yeah, I'm there playing the Xbox One, and I had to turn to Corey Andrus, who is now actually working for EA in the I forget his title, but he's there at EA now. But I said, how do you get back to the menu? How do you get back to the dashboard? Because I'm used to doing it on PS4, and I hadn't used the Xbox One before. And he said, oh, you know, you just tap that one instead of holding down like you do on you have to hold it. Well, either way, it's the opposite of what you do on PS4. So
yeah,
I was kind of thrown by that. But yeah, and of course the controller. But no, it was great to have you over there, and obviously representing the NLSC and giving an opportunity for all that you've done for the NLSC and the official boards as well. So obviously I would have loved to go, but then I realized my passport was at lapsed and I hadn't renewed it. I have since, so for the next 10 years at least, I'll be free to travel. Hopefully, if they'll let me into the country, I suppose. But yeah, so you got to go over there, and it's an exciting opportunity, great experience. But it goes by so quickly, doesn't it?
Oh, it. Yeah, I mean, playtesting from usually from about 10 a.m. till about 6 p.m. Day two, we actually played until about 8:30 p.m. So, but yeah, it just goes by so quick. And it was interesting, like, only a couple of people knew before leading up. It was such short notice, too, in terms of especially getting that solid confirmation that I was getting to go. It was basically like a day and a half before my flight.
Yeah, yeah.
that I had that solid confirmation, and that's when I got the flight details and that I was officially going over. But yeah, it's an amazing opportunity that went by, and it was funny. I was trying to find out ways to sort of inform people that I was going over to the US and that. And I was thinking, oh, you know, if I got the opportunity when I was there, you know, if I got to go past, like, Disneyland, or Disney World, I should say, or something like that, that was going to sort of be my way. I was going to, like, do, like, a hungover aspect of how did I get here kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's like, wake up, like, almost like, yeah, the hangover sort of movie series and all that stuff. But it was...
You met Conan O'Brien. That was cool.
Yeah, well, that was end up being the best way in a sense is, like, at the airport, I literally only had like 2 to 3 minutes before I had to board my plane from LA to Orlando. And right near my gate that I was at was this little restaurant part. And Conan O'Brien comes out, and I'm like, no way, that's him. And then he got on the phone, and as soon as I heard the voice, I was like, holy crap, it is him.
Yeah.
And I was like, thinking of scenarios, I was like, oh, can I get a video? You know, because you and I were both Conan O'Brien fans, obviously, particularly from when he was writing from The Simpsons, and occasionally after a podcast, we'll watch a little snippets of his show where he's like interviewing people or, you know, some of the monologue stuff that he does. So I was thinking, oh, I wonder if I could get an opportunity to, you know, get a video of him saying, hey, Andrew, bet you wish you could make out the trip this time and all that stuff. And
yeah,
that. But I was a little bit paranoid because I was like, I didn't want to take up too much time of his time. The fact that I only had like a few minutes before I had to board my plane, because I was really one of the last passengers to get on. And I sort of have this thing with celebrities, like I respect their privacy and that. But So it was like I ended up getting a photo with him, and I didn't get to post it straight away. I waited until I got in Orlando, and I posted it, and it was an awesome way to sort of inform people that I was overseas.
Make people wonder, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, how the hell, what the hell? It's just all these questions and all that stuff. So it was like, it worked out perfectly in the end.
And a good dude, as I understand. Quite friendly about the whole taking a selfie, yeah.
Yeah, so I appreciated his time. Again, I tried not to take too much of his time, again, with the whole sort of two minds of how much, the privacy factor and all that stuff. So Yeah, that was just thankful for that aspect. But yeah, it was awesome experience getting to meet a few guys, like even some of the YouTube community that was there. I got to meet Doug from Good Game Bro, which was awesome. You know, we've known each other for a long time in terms of like social media aspects and stuff like that. So it was actually good to meet him. Got to meet AJ, the community manager, who's now got a different role within EA and that. So it was good to meet him before he changed roles. Yeah. And some of the other stuff. I've got to meet Ryan Santos, so I was like happy for, and because, you know, given that he was sort of like the cultural sort of aspect.
And the shoe about, guy as well, you know.
And I got to talk about how I sort of first got to learn about him through that article that was like in Times or Forbes, I think it was back in the day, you know, and how they were talking about how they got the contracts with Nike and all that stuff to include into the shoes for 2004. So, yeah, it was sort of all that nostalgia element, and a lot of development team were like, oh, man, we've been trying to get you here for 8 years. That was like really, wow, okay.
Yeah, no, I had the same thing in 2015. It's great to know that we're relevant, basically, and that we're known to them. And it's funny, like, obviously I would have loved to go. Would have been cool if we both could have gone and met actually in a different country, considering we are just like an hour's flight from each other
here.
But would have been funny to do that. So I mean, but obviously I've been to events before, so while I would have loved to have gone, I wasn't particularly jealous or envious of that. I was actually more envious of you meeting Conan O'Brien, to be honest. That's what I haven't done. But no, it was great to be over there, and Great to finally reveal it, actually. I think we had a couple of hints at it in previous shows, and like, we were going to mention it, but we cut it out just because it wasn't sure, because it was one of those events where I think we weren't sure whether we could mention it.
Yeah.
So we, yeah, that's why we've held off on it.
And given that, you know, that we had to really sign a secure NDA in a lot of cases as well.
Yeah.
And especially given that, that there was a situation that happened a few weeks earlier, and that so things were a lot stricter and tighter in terms of things. So
people always ruining it by, oh, we got to get the scoop, and like, yeah, but yeah. NDAs, and like, you ruin it for everyone else. But also should mention that you gave some great feedback at the time. You really stressed the importance of rosters and franchise mode and everything like that. So you definitely spoke up on our behalf. So just in case anyone wants to say, oh, it's Ben's fault for not saying anything, Ben said stuff. You talked to me about what you should say about it, and I said, look, you know, all the stuff what our community wants, and you took that all in there and mentioned it, and they took it on board. Obviously, they had their roadmap for Live 18, but you gave them a lot of feedback moving forward for both 18 and 19. So, you know, good job.
Yeah. And again, thank you to EA and the opportunity. And yeah, one thing that was really humbling about that experience is they didn't want any BS, you know, that from the feedback from the guys that were there.
Yeah.
There was like 9 of us there, and they were really hammering in and really forcefully stressing, like, don't bullshit us now, you know, we don't want to waste our time and your time,
yeah,
sort of thing.
We flew you in so that you could tell us to how to improve the game. You know, we don't want people, they always stress the same thing in the previous events to us. Don't say, oh, it's great, and then go and bash it. You know, it's like, this is the time to tell us what's wrong, you know. So
exactly. So they were there, they were listening. Some things that I was talking about, who brought up ideas with one of the developers, and that actually came to me, and he even threw in some ideas, so we were mixing things together, and a lot of that, it was involved around content creation stuff. So things that I'm hoping that we'll get to see within the next year or two, they had been considering it for a while, and that, but reasons why is they want to still keep things, like, not to intimidate beginners in a lot of ways, or, you know, not like with these kind of advanced settings and stuff like that. So they were still wanting to keep an entry level ability in terms of things, but I think once, like, again, one of the things I used to do was try and bring in a broader picture. It's like the complete circle picture, you know, including these implementations will look, have this effect in the greater long run, sort of thing, you know, and how a couple of things could actually tie together, and how, again, you know, that full picture sort of element. And I think I incorporated a lot of that with this idea for this content stuff. And, yeah, the fact that they were receptive and they were bringing in ideas to it. And, you know, one thing that I hadn't considered, he actually mentioned, I was like, yes, that actually works. And this is how it can work as well, you know, for people doing this element and that. So that was fantastic in terms of, you know, the feedback and how they were communicating back with us. Yeah, I tried to be as vocal as possible. I even sort of hinted at a couple of things that were said in previous podcasts in terms of PC release, because believe me, I did ask.
Of course, yeah.
And I actually spoke to Ryan directly about it, in saying that, you know, chances are for PC release, and he says, look, it realistically will come down to sales in terms of console element. Obviously, it's going to be the focus, but if we can get, you know, if the sales numbers are good and positive, you know, then they can look at expanding to bringing the PC model or PC version back, which would be great. So, you know, obviously we'll keep up the petition stuff. That will also help in terms of that. But, yeah, it really comes down to people buying the game and
The brand being strong and being established again as it was back in the day. So, as we've said in previous podcasts, as you've noted, you know, it comes down to supporting the brand. But yeah, once again, thank you for representing us so well, and it's great that you had such a great trip. But the whole thing was, of course, you know, the storms rolling in was the original point. You know, that's what happens every afternoon in Orlando. It was very weird, actually.
From my experience, we didn't really get...
You didn't get that?
We didn't have any... I think there may have been, like, 5 minutes of rain at one point, but...
It comes and goes, yeah.
But, yeah, we didn't have any storms. So, but, yeah, I heard about them, and it was funny. I was taking pictures of, like, I took my digital SLR camera and I was taking photos of, like, squirrels and stuff, and they were wondering why I was taking photos of them, and I was like, we don't have them in Australia.
No, we've got a lot of other stuff. We've got the spiders, got a lot of snakes, got cane toads.
Yeah.
So, don't have the cute squirrels, but...
And big ass sharks, but yeah.
So that was, we can finally reveal that, I guess. And once again, obviously we do have those connections with EA that we're always passing that feedback along to. And EA obviously are actually taking a lot of feedback into consideration as we move into the news now. They've had two patches in the past 2 weeks. You know, we were all ready to talk about patch 1.05, which I guess is patch 4, actually, in their numbering. But patch 1.05, version 1.05, came out as we were about to record this episode a couple of weeks ago. And since then, patch 1.06 has come out as well. So we've got a couple of patches recently, Ben, and they've done some good work with both patches. They've tuned slider impact for the shot contesting and the off-dribble shooting. They restricted some of the on-the-run dribble moves for lower-skilled players. They've added a new lobby to the league. Goals are available in the pause menu. They've fixed exploits. They've updated signings and drop picks to match the NBA in the league, just to the wording of various goals. Tuned playoff simulation. They've updated commentary even, and some other minor bug fixes and commentary for overtime games, and even some new content as far as new first take videos. They've also added a free agent list to the roster listings. Unfortunately, no roster editing still. That we keep, you know, talking about whether that could ever be patched in. We're not too sure about that. We don't think it's going to happen.
Trust me, that was one thing that I was stressing big.
Oh, absolutely. At the event. Yeah.
So yeah,
once again, like,
you were hammering that in.
About how the importance of roster editing and if it can be patched in, and you know, you and I have been passing on feedback to the people we know at EA. Since the game's release, and obviously before as well, and as they continue to release these patches, but the patches have come out. Patch 1.06 also has added Xbox One X support for the game, general stability fixes. They've also done a few things with jersey designations and Ultimate Team, and some other things. It wasn't a very they really need to do some more patch notes for 1.06. But they also mentioned Live Strike, or hashtag Live Strike, I guess, which we don't know what it is yet, Ben.
No. Which is
unusual that they've mentioned.
Intriguing. Yeah.
It certainly got people wondering and saying, well why didn't they? And I guess it's a way of getting people talking. I'm guessing it's probably going to be some kind of live event, dynamic event, maybe to do with the one.
Yeah, I think that could be the case. It's very intriguing to... And especially the term strike and all that stuff. So, yeah.
Well, my mind flashed back to the dribbling, because remember they renamed Freestyle to Quick Strike Dribbling for a couple of years there. And then I realized, oh no, that wasn't Live Strike, that was Quick Strike. So the strike has come up before in their terminology and in their nomenclature. So we don't know what it is yet. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing it's some kind of event, something to do with the one, because the one has been that mode that they've really centered on this year, more so than franchise, which unfortunately is a bit disappointing, and hopefully they fix that in or improve on that in Live 19. But if I had to I'd guess, you know, obviously Live, NBA Live, but I do think it's some kind of dynamic event, some kind of live event makes sense to me. So some kind of online timed, yeah. It's it's hard to speculate on, I suppose, without sounding like a complete idiot and then getting proven wrong when the news drops in 2 days' time after we finish recording. So we hopefully know by next week's show. But I do think some kind of event, much like what they've been doing, the events and challenges for the one so far, I think it's going to be something like that. But if it is some cool new system, that would be pretty cool. The game is feeling pretty good at the moment. They've fixed up some of the delays in the animations, especially on pull-up jump shots and things like that. I still think it could be smoother. There are still some animations that are a little bit jerky and whatnot, and they play out too quickly or whatever, but I'm seeing a lot of like really cool dunks. I'm going to start posting some videos soon, because I've just been getting some moments. Like, we did our giveaway. Thank you to everyone who entered our social media giveaways in the last couple of weeks. Just getting screenshots of like a Dennis Smith Jr. dunk and some Giannis Antetokounmpo dunks as well. I was just messing around to get some highlights, to get some cool screenshots to share. And I say the videos as well, because they turned out quite nice. Like, when something looks good in live, it looks really good. It's just cleaning up those things that don't look and feel so good. But the game, I think, it's getting a lot of positivity this year, and rightfully so, as we've said before. It's feeling quite good, especially after the patches, Ben.
Yeah, I've spent a little bit more time this week, and in playing a few different modes and all that stuff. So getting to really sort of see, especially the two recent patches and that came out, it's really starting to feel a lot better. And you know, one good thing is, you know, a lot of these patches really haven't added too much in terms of, you know, future issues to work on and stuff like that. So in terms of like adding new glitches or problems and stuff or bugs and stuff like that, so that's run really good positive in that sense that I'm really enjoying it, the game, that it's not having to, for all the one step or two steps forward, it's taking two or three steps backwards in some things. So I think from what I've seen in one post on the EA forums, is maybe the thing that might be like regarded as a glitch is, I think some of the apparel stuff, like thumbnails, are different to what's actually shown.
Oh, okay.
But I haven't done the live run stuff this week, so I'll especially after patch 106 and that, so I'll have a look at that. But at the moment, it's nothing that in terms of like that would be regarded as game breaking. So that's a good step in that sense.
Yeah, that's a good point. A great point. They haven't broken anything with the patches, which is kind of remarkable with any game of sophistication of live. Obviously, in many ways, not as deep as 2K, but anything that's not a smaller indie game, like any game that's, I guess, over 500 megabytes these days, which is to say most AAA titles, obviously, to patch something and not wreck something is no mean feat in programming. As any software designer can probably tell you even better than we can with years in the industry. But yeah, they've done a great job with the patches. I mean, there are things we'd like to see, and obviously we'd love to see the roster editing patched in. Feasibility is another issue with that, of course. But as far as new content, you know, we'd love to see that. But yeah, to actually address these issues without creating brand new ones, it's been pretty solid so far. I think they've done a good job with the QA department, making sure the patches address things and don't wreck things.
Yeah, you know, there's been that good level of polish in it. Another thing too is, like, considering, I suppose, in recent years, the patch size, I mean, obviously with the PS4 one, it's, you know, accumulating all the patch stuff in it, so previous patches in it, which actually has some pros and cons, obviously, you know, having to re-download it all over again. But, you know, for someone that's maybe just bought the game, they're not having to re-download every single patch all over again. So.
Exactly, yeah.
So there's the pros and cons in that aspect, but the patch size, we've joked about it in previous with regards to 2K, especially last year, how each patch was like around 7.5 gigs and that, you know, both are around the 5.5 gigs for both Live and 2K at the moment. But one thing I'll probably give in Live's favor is it's actually adding new things into it. You know, it's not just fixing up a few things that were past or present kind of stuff, or it's actually adding content and things like that. I know 2K's one has added a little bit here and there with stuff, but yeah, I think the substantialness of the patches and the content that's in the patches, I think, has maybe been in more in favor of Live in terms of positive element to it. So, I'm happy in that aspect in terms of that. And yeah, just the gameplay improvements in itself, you know, it's really starting to show. It's starting to come along, and yeah, it's been really good to actually, and actually now to be able to sort of say this publicly, and that it's been really good to see how the game's come along since May. You know, and there's a few more things that we'll mention a little bit later when we sort of near closing up time. There'll be three quick things in terms of that, but yeah, it's really good to see how it's progressed and it's how it evolved since the time that I've got to be hands on it back in the time back in May.
And it's that continued improvement. I mean, sometimes we get a bit impatient about it, and there's a way to go with Live in gameplay and modes. But the fact that Live 18, when it launched, it was definitely an improvement on 16. 16 improved through the year with a couple of patches, and to see Live 18 going and improving with the patches, having been pretty good at launch, and then certainly better than its predecessors, and then being better now, it really bodes well for the future of the series. Live 19, you know, what they're going to do with Frostbite, because it's not running on Frostbite, it's still on the Ignite engine, because I believe, I think the long term, I'm guessing the long term plan is to go to Ignite to Frostbite, I suppose, but it's just a matter of being able to get all the assets over there and get it working properly, because you definitely don't want to start from scratch or have a bad transfer to that engine and have it just be a disaster. So
and one thing people have to realize that it is actually going to take a lot of work to get it over, and that's the thing that was discussed. You know, what is the process like and all that stuff, and it does take up a lot of resources and time, and you know, especially given that the live development team or the NBA games development time has sort of been shortened a little bit more now, so in the last couple of years and that, so when the game actually comes out to when tip off and all that, especially this year given that they're starting a few weeks earlier in the year, and so the games come out a month before then, so it's really a short cycle now in terms of it. So I think the forward planning is get the game to where it needs to be in terms of what they want to put in essentially in the core of it, and then look at going to Frostbite and when it comes to that time. So, because yeah, like I said, it'll take up most of the development time to actually get it done.
So you got to get a lot of the basics in play first. So which they'll hopefully continue to do, and it has been a pleasing improvement over the last couple of games, and certainly 18 is doing a lot better. A lot of people are enjoying it. There are people saying they are enjoying it more than 2K18. That's not to say they don't still have their criticisms or things they want to see get better, but you know, or that is not to definitively say that it is the best game this year or anything like that. That is a matter of opinion, and there are a lot of arguments for and against that, obviously. But there's no denying that it's gotten better. The people that are saying that it is still a rubbish game, I think, have not given it a chance. You know, that there is still room for improvement, obviously, but the way it has improved and continues to improve with the patches is very pleasing to see, very encouraging for the future. Definitely, as we've said so many times before, it does need that deeper franchise mode and roster editing, though. Those are must moving forward, which, again, you stressed to the development team when you were there. The game has received a couple of roster updates in the past couple of weeks as of opening night. I think also the latest content update, 106, the latest patch, I should say, has actually fixed an issue with Bogdan Bogdanovic. He was, oddly enough, a black player in the previous rosters. And he is as white as you and me, Ben, I think. It's safe to say. A white guy from Europe, Bogdanovic, there for the Kings. And, his appearance, obviously, way off. Was not him at all. But I passed that information along, and others have done the same as well, posting that. And as of now, with the latest content update, he is actually fixed. He's got his proper face and everything, so something's gone wrong with the rosters at some point somewhere along the line, but they have fixed that, so that's nice. If you do want to start your franchise or start a new version of the league, obviously you've got the right Bogdan Bogdanovic now in there, so that's great to see. The rosters are up to date as of, I think, about a couple of weeks ago. When was the last update? Was opening night, I think. October 24th is when I posted that bulletin, so about a week or so out of date now, more than a week out of date now. But I mean, that is something that obviously they do need to step up a little bit with the official roster updates, making sure they're at least coming through regularly, once a week at least, especially with no roster editing. Make sure the lineups are correct and everything, but they are pushing through the roster updates and the tendencies. And I have noticed that players are starting to take more three-pointers, so I think they've fixed some of the tendencies in the latest update as well.
Yeah, well, and one thing I noticed while playing just before we started recording was I was playing a WNBA mode game, and noticing that defensive help and that on the AI side actually really is more effective in that it actually fills the spots and all that stuff when it realizes that, you know, it's if there's a mismatch or, you know, a player out of position in that. So I'm seeing like some smart improvements in gameplay in there and that. So it's not easy to drive to the basket. Like, even if you got Brittany Briner, it was like a bit of a challenge to try and actually dunk it with her and that. I actually couldn't get one because the defense match was a lot smarter. So
and they've updated a couple of faces for the WNBA. They're done for the NBA, yeah, but also the WNBA players as well. I've noticed they've updated a few players, a few people on Twitter, I think Prime and WTF, Will, Will Ferrell is they've they're always sharing screens of live, of course, on social media. I think I apologize if you're listening. I can't remember who did it now, but yeah, there's been some screenshots of the updated faces out there of WNBA. So yeah, they're continuing to update the faces throughout the year for both NBA and some WNBA as well. So that's cool.
Yeah, that continual support is again one of those things I was alluding to, even with in regards to the patches. You know, that it's been positive additions and things like that. So, really looking forward to seeing and how the game will eventually finally evolve to the last patch that they released for the game title, to how Live 19 and that will come out. So, yeah.
And speaking of rosters, obviously, again, not to harp on it too much, we do want to see the roster editing. One thing they do need to do with the rosters in Live 19 is they need to update the new roster system that the NBA has implemented, because it still has the 12-man active lineup in Live, where it's obviously gone to the 13-man in recent years, and now you've got the two-way players as well, so they really do need to expand the rosters just to have that authenticity for the rosters, because as it is, they have to leave a couple of players in the free agent pool.
Yeah.
So for that authenticity, they do need to update that roster system for Live 19, because that's been outdated for a couple of years with the 13-man active lineup for a start, but certainly now they've made a couple more changes just this past off-season with the new rule changes in this past off-season that they announced that 2K were able to squeeze in. I don't think they're going to be able to patch it in, unfortunately, but definitely it's just little things like that they need to get for Live 19 as well, that for that authenticity is just so important. And yes, gameplay is important, but it's all part of that. And certainly having the right rosters is part of gameplay as well. So it's just all those details they really need to get on there. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to having a really detailed list of things for our wish list, which we probably have to start soon so we can get in as soon as possible to stress what we need to them. And I'm looking forward to giving them some detailed feedback. We've got some new members in the forum. Shout out to GMonster84, who's been sharing some great posts in the NBA Live 18 section of the forum with some already some preliminary wish list stuff, basically, some great ideas. So, but I definitely, as always, we encourage everyone to get into our forums and discuss the games, what you're playing, what you're enjoying, what you'd like to see, what you like, what you don't like, what you'd like to see in the future games. You know, we want to get that discussion going, as always, in the forum. So, yeah, we encourage all our new members to sign up and start talking, and our old members as well to get in that discussion. But that is something I would like to see, Ben, the rosters, getting all those details right in Live 19.
Yeah, and again, something I'll mention a little bit later on before closing up the podcast. So
I think that's about all we have for the news for Live 18. It's continuing to get the updates. We do want to see the updates come through, the roster updates come through regularly. But yeah, the game is looking it's got a bright future, and it's we're having fun with it at the moment. Getting the screenshots, as I said, and getting some videos at the same time. Thinking of doing a few mixes this year, because there's some, when you see something that looks good, it looks rather good, and it's enjoyable to see, Ben.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and testament to the team who, you know, have been working hard to get the game in good shape and, you know, building for that future element. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing what they work on, what they improve on and all that stuff as time comes by.
Speaking of official patches, NBA 2K18 has also received a patch. It is patch number 5, 1.05 is the version designation on that one. It's come through for PlayStation 4, still waiting for it to come through on Xbox One, PC, and Switch, as of this recording, I believe. I haven't noticed it come through on PC yet, but of course it has come through on PS4, which we play. I've got the PC version as well. So it has come through. We had lengthy patch notes once again. It's added 4K resolution, 60 frames per second for, again, Xbox One X, so they're putting through both companies putting through that compatibility there in the latest patches. It's received content updates, including updates to the Clippers, Spurs, and Magic jerseys and the 2008 Hornets uniforms as well. Fixed a few issues with crashes, although it's added a few crashes. We'll get to that in a second as well. Some gameplay issues. One thing that I haven't been able to try because I haven't played a My Career game, but I noticed this jumped out at me straight away under the gameplay section in the patch notes, Ben. Fixed several layups that would tend to hit the bottom of the backboard when performed by tall players. There are so many times as doing the pick and roll with Robin Lopez in my career with the Bulls that I'll get the pick and roll, he'll roll to the basket and lay it up into the bottom of the backboard. So I'm really glad that's been fixed, because that was really annoying me.
Yeah, I had one or two instances of that And it was like, okay, when it first happened. So it was like, I think there's actually a video that I had captured of it, and I was like, I was going to upload it. But yeah, that's good to see. I had instances here where they laid it up into the back of the backboard from basically almost out of bounds. So
yep.
That's a good improvement, because that was, yeah, kind of like, who does that? Especially when there's no contact made to the player to bump them off their shot.
Like, it happens, but it happens too often. That, I mean, that's the whole thing we've said. Like, sloppy passes should happen. Odd things if you're out of position, fire into the side of the backboard. It happens in the NBA, but not as randomly and often as it has in 2K18. So it's all about frequency and tendencies for that to happen.
Frequency vibrations.
Frequency vibrations, there you go. Orange patch, haha. add a new action photo. So there's new player portraits in there. I've noticed some of those.
Yep.
So you've got Kyrie Irving on the Celtics, things like that. And basically, because the game came out before Media Day. That's how early the games are releasing this year. So they've actually got to push through new portraits post-release. And fixed a few technical issues with accessories disappearing in cutscenes, things like that. Issues where Brian stops texting you regarding picking up endorsement checks. Improvements to t-shirt voting. We'll get to t-shirt voting in a sec. Other technical fixes as well. They've also got the vague things, like a number of improvements to the Pro-Am walk-on / team experience. We will get to that.
Xbox One's users for DVR purposes, game DVR, can actually record now.
Mm-hmm. Users can now apply any brand of shoes to historic players in my team. Other issues like that. My GM and my league. Tuning the quality of draft classes, improvement to the editing of contracts, fix an issue that caused premier players to wait until the end of free agency before signing a near minimum level contract. Yeah, that's an issue that I was waiting for them to fix before I started my league game. So I'm very happy to hear that. So some pretty solid fixes across the board. Always great to see. I do have to say that apart from that first patch where we got no patch notes for 2K18, the patch notes, they are doing a pretty good job of giving a full list of what they're doing.
Yep.
Although one thing they didn't note
in the zigzag
is the fix to the zigzag exploit. Mike Wang Baluba posted that on Twitter, did mention that they have adjusted fatigue for over-dribbling, dribble fatigue, to stop the zigzag, and it does affect it. And having played a couple of 2K Pro-Am games over the weekend, I would have to say they have actually done a pretty good job of that. We saw some people trying the zigzag cheese and missing shots, so I'm very glad to see that exploit, especially being a point guard in Pro-Am, to see that happen. So good job on that one, I'd have to say.
Yeah, I mean, it's about a 2-year thing, but it's finally in, which is good.
Better late than never, yep.
Yep. Obviously, a few things still, I think, need improving. Clipping is particularly one of them,
definitely.
I think. And yeah, the ability to catch passes now, how you just keep fumbling it or just get thrown out of bounds or things like that. So I think those for me are still the big issues in regards to like gameplay, game breaking moments when you can lead to control the throwing. So
I agreed. Yeah, there's too many random fumbles, I think, and stumbles.
Yeah.
That I know they're trying to add some realism there, and fair enough. But it's, again, it feels very canned to do. And I've actually noticed, you know that video I shared with our team chat. With we had some playground games, which we'll talk about in our week in basketball gaming later on as well. But I tried to kick that pass back out to X, and it just turned around and warped into the defender's hands. Like, I was doing a direct pass that should have gone to the top of the key, and it turned around and threw it to him behind me in the post. You know, it's as I was trying to do a drive and dish. So it, there's a lot of canned moments that, like you say, make you feel like throwing the controller and saying, well, F this, I don't want to play the game, because it's your jaw is dropping for the wrong reasons, basically. And that's...
Yeah, exactly.
They do need to clean up those canned moments. You know, talking about choosing the wrong animation, you know, that is still happening. Maybe not necessarily on some of the layups and whatnot. I mean, we're not getting cockback blocked this year as much on dunks, but, well, when I can actually dunk the ball as a playmaker. It's a rare treat indeed. They do need to adjust that as well, because I've got up to a 57 dunk rating now, and I've got, with all the dunk packages, I should be throwing down some more dunks, so that's kind of ridiculous. But anyway, that's a matter for another time. But yeah, it's there has been some improvement there. It's nice to see them fix the zigzag cheese, but the clipping issues, as you said, the clipping and the can moments, they are the biggest issues that I guess really frustrate us. It's the physics only seem to come into play when you get screwed over with the body steel, and that's what's really frustrating.
Yeah, and the body steels aren't even consistent in terms of it's more about, if they're going to have it, it's got to be consistent in terms of things. You can't have like your whole body or in your hand or anything go through you through the ball one moment, and then you mysteriously tap the ball the next time and all that stuff in a similar circumstance. Even if not attempting a body steal, where you're just trying to, match up and
just push body up the player, yeah.
Yeah, or it'll set the screen and stuff like that. And so, yeah, it's more about the consistency factor and how it's broken in terms of how... Yeah, so I think that's the issue of it in terms of it and how... Yeah, and again, I'll allude back to where I did a screen and the guy just went clipped right through me. So playing defense just... There was no point in that sort of circumstances when you're trying to, help out your teammate and, get them open and all that stuff. So there's moments like that where it's like, why even bother kind of thing. So I think once they fix up that, they'll have a really solid game. But until they do, then I think the game's still not as polished as it needs to be at this stage.
And it's surprising because 2K17 is probably one of my favorite games in the series. It had its issues, but probably one of my favorite games in the series so far. And it does feel like 2K18, there's a bit of a sloppiness to it. And some of it's bugs and some of it is gameplay related. There are things about the gameplay I like. The control is an interesting one because... I do feel in some ways this year the control feels a lot better, a lot smoother, a lot more responsive. But at the same time, there's also a looseness to it and the skating and everything it sort of shows why some of the previous games of both Live and 2K have felt a bit heavy. They've tried to get the foot planting, and once you take away the foot planting, you get the responsiveness, but then there's that looseness to the controls as well. So yeah. It's still, both games still trying to get that balance in their own way. It's always hard for us when we talk about 2K, especially since we've talked so positively about Live earlier in the show. People are like, you're hating on 2K, bashing your Live fanboys and whatever. We've certainly got our criticisms of Live. And, we were talking about it before we started recording, and it's really that 2K is the brand leader and has been so great for so long that the expectations are very high. So when you see it having these problems and you also see a lot of people giving it 8s and 9s and really high scores, you start to think, well, you got to call out these issues in the game because it doesn't benefit as gamers to turn a blind eye to issues in a game that is the brand leader and has done such a good job, but this year has taken some disappointing steps backwards, and it is disappointing because we've had so much fun with 2K and we do, have a genuine affection for the brand. Maybe we don't have the same nostalgia that we do for Live, but, we've talked about it before, it's not trying to hate on the game, it's a genuine disappointment that a game that has traditionally been so good year to year has some disappointing issues, and it is disappointing.
Yeah, and in a lot of cases with its patches and it ends up causing more issues or having to fix more issues than it did actually resolve, or some of the issues that felt that were mentioned that were being improved on, we didn't translate and all that stuff, or you didn't see or feel it enough to go, okay, they have actually worked on this. A lot of things in patch 105, yes, I think it's there and what they've said, but yeah, the fact that it's causing a couple of new issues and stuff like that too kind of really brings that element of polishing and stuff like that were mentioned with Live's one, where we're not seeing those problems and stuff like that in terms of not having a game breaking experience. Yes, okay, there's a cosmetic thing within terms of maybe like a thumbnail for some apparel stuff, but it's not, the game's not freezing or breaking or anything like that, or you're not having to reset, or you're not having to exit the mode and go back in or try and do all these things to invite your mates in for other modes, or so there's it's sort of the little for all the steps forward, there's a couple, one or two steps backwards element to it.
I mean, I guess the biggest one that we're seeing on PS4, which of course we're on PS4 and that's what the patch has come out for as yet, is the crashes in the neighborhood, the freezes, the hangs, the lockups, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
We had at least two or three of them when we were playing on Friday night in 2K Pro.
We had four within 5 or 10 minutes. I think you had two, and X and I had one.
Yeah.
I had one when I actually just had a look at OS, because LSC was down at this point, I think, at this point, and I saw that other people were having the issue too. And
yeah,
within the time from loading up my career to when I posted it and made a couple of comments, and that from the moment it loaded up my career and was in the neighborhood, it locked up and froze there. Yeah. So I've had it from there. People have experiencing it while in the middle of like doing a drill thing in the Gatorade gym and things like that. So
that was my first one where I was standing at the box jump just to get the boost. Just standing. Yeah. And I came back and it was like, 32 seconds, it's not moving. Okay, the controller is not responding. Fantastic, that's locked up. So, well, it's good to know it's not our consoles, basically, or our discs.
Yeah.
That is the game, which is not good, but it's good to know that we don't have to replace our hardware, I suppose. But
yeah, exactly.
Stuff like that is definitely frustrating. You know, it's kind of like the whole closet issue where we couldn't...
exactly. And that was another one. That was the thing that they were supposed to have fixed in terms of being able to access and, you know, with the whole... how they've adjusted the shoes you could access and all that stuff and the clothes. And then, yeah, end up breaking it. And then for like 3 weeks, it maybe or longer or something like that, depending how, I can't remember when the last, between the two patches and that. But yeah, you couldn't access it. And, you know, even your signature shoes that you had, so things like that, you couldn't really access. And so
I believe they have fixed that now.
All that stuff now is fixed. But yeah, that was an issue that was broken in patch 104, and that was something that they were actually supposed to kind of you know, fix one aspect of in terms of being able to access that stuff, but it ended up making the situation worse. And that's all. So that's the sort of step forward, two steps back kind of thing, or however the saying goes.
And yeah, absolutely. And we should, as we noted, we're talking about the Live 18 patches. It is easier said than done in software to address issues without causing more issues. I mean, that's what's been surprising. The Live 18 patches haven't caused more problems in that regard. Yeah. The 2K18 patches, they haven't really done a lot of tuning updates, so they haven't really been messing with the gameplay, which I guess in some ways there are things we want to see fixed, but at the same time, last year there was a bit too much fluctuation with that, so that is good in that sense that they haven't been messing around with the gameplay too much. They've wanted that consistency. I think they've got it, for better or worse. The biggest issue is being able to drive very easily with just about anyone, and there's a big thread going in the 2K18 section of the forum. You can check that out and see all the video demonstrations of that. One thing that has been fixed that hasn't been noted in any of the patch notes, but is very welcome to see, is that alley-oops count for assists again. So
yep.
I can start throwing you those lobs. And I did the Simpsons reference. I can throw a lob again.
Yep.
deleted scene. Referencing deleted scenes now, Ben, for my...
sharing our true fanboyism.
Absolutely, Simpsons. Yeah. From the, was it 137th episode spectacular with that one? So, 138th spectacular. There you go. I'm letting down the fanboy.
I think it was 138.
Yeah, I'm letting down my fanboyism by not remembering the name of the episode. Everyone knows the episode, surely. Anyway, so they've fixed that issue very quietly. Great to see. You know, maybe it was in the patch notes and I've just forget about it, but it is nice that they've fixed that. So they are definitely fixing issues. Hopefully it also comes through for Xbox One, PC, and Nintendo Switch as soon as possible. It is a shame that a few of those issues have adjusted. I'm guessing probably at least a couple more patches are going to come through. I mean, obviously they need to fix these hangs in the neighborhood, because that's not good. So I'm guessing that'll be patch 106 that adjusts and that, hopefully.
Possibly the bike hang as well. That looks to be all the issue that's regarding the bike and dismounting and...
Oh, that K-Spade posted?
Yeah, yeah. There was a video we just saw just before we started recording where K-Spade, who was actually one of the guys at the EA event that I went to, he posted a video of he's a level 90, so he's got access to the bike. And he dismounted the bike, but it didn't recognize that he had, so he was actually able to, like, travel through walls and things like that, and not actually be able to trigger like cutscenes or interactions with like in Doc's barbershop and all that stuff. So, yeah, he kind of had like a almost like a debug sort of mode where you actually had to sort of go through things and that. So that was an interesting exploit. And then he had like another one later, right at the end when he was playing in the playground. And yeah, that was that was an interesting one. But yeah, so there's again, there's a couple little things. He was playing on Xbox One, so I don't know if it's just on that sort of console with those sort of issues and that. So again, we're not a level 90 to confirm on PS4 at this stage. But and yeah, we haven't experienced, from what we know, that attribute problem where he took a shot. Didn't look like he was rewarded the proper amount of points for it, but it actually went to a teammate instead of him.
Yeah, a three counter for two, and then the points actually went to his teammates. So that was a weird glitch there. may have just been a once-off, maybe a server issue, something like that. After we had some issues last night, I'm not going to make too many jokes about server issues because we had some downtime last night, so I'll probably sound like a hypocrite, but nevertheless, of course, we are back up and running now if you are listening to this. Obviously, because it is hosted on the NLSC server. So, thank you for your patience again for that. But yeah, it's a shame that that some of those issues have crept in. But hopefully, patch 106 can address that, and or if they can push through a hot fix, so much the better. Because again, you're getting 5.8 gig downloads on PS4 with the patches. You don't want to have them too often. Eats through your monthly limit if you're on one. So. I'm guessing in the next couple of weeks we're going to get a patch for that. Hopefully not too long, because we will talk a bit more about our week in basketball gaming, obviously, with 2K Pro-Am. A couple of weeks of basketball gaming now, I suppose. But we didn't have any lockups in the or playing Pro-Am itself. It was just running around the neighborhood. So it seems to be the neighborhood, not when you're in like the playground or Pro-Am or anything like that. So if you can make it, obviously you've got to go to the gym. And I didn't happen to be in the shoot-around, sorry, the team practice. So if you're playing my career or any of the modes within the neighborhood, it seems to be okay. But it's just when you're in the neighborhood itself that those issues seem to be, which is still frustrating, but obviously other things are still playable. So that's good.
Yeah, yeah.
So speaking of things that are in the neighborhood, of course, there is the T-shirt kiosk, and you can actually get some in-game NLSC merch, thanks to you, Ben.
Yeah, there's been a couple more shirts that have been approved, and there's a couple more up there. I've got some ideas for the next lot. So I got to wait for obviously those three shirts that are currently up for voting to get through. So I expect more of that kind of stuff, hopefully soon, with regards to it. But yeah, there's more shirts available. Kind of wishing now I have the PC version to be able to do that for the PC community in that sense. So that way the community can have, some NLSC merch in that sense. I might pick it up later in the year if I can get it cheap.
Steam sale, basically.
Yeah. So I'll keep an eye out for that. I'll have to actually buy some credit for Steam as well. I've actually just installed Steam on my laptop, so I've mainly tried keeping this a work PC as opposed to a gaming one, even though it is a gaming one, a gaming laptop. So I think might be something I look for later in the year, hopefully maybe just after Christmas time or something like that. So
we've got the Polygon shirt in there. That was the first one that got. That's the one we've been wearing in the playground. You might have seen the screenshots we posted in the forum and on social media. UX and myself wearing those. And we need to get a win in one of those to really represent the NLSC properly.
Yeah, for sure.
But there's also now some actual real merch in there, like shirts in there that you can. Or is the Polygon available, or is it just the Elite shirt?
Just the Elite shirt at the moment. The Polygon one was going to look to be next. It's just
concept, yeah.
Yeah. It was just a matter of having the funds to be able to get it. There was an opportunity a couple of weeks ago or a couple of months ago in regards to having T-shirts made up, but I didn't have the money at the time. Sort of been last couple of weeks been quiet in terms of orders to get enough profit to be able to invest in getting some new merch made up. But I well that and I already had some samples and stuff getting made up at this stage. So Yeah, well, once I clear those, like, paid all of those, I'll save up some more and then do it. I'm still considering looking, like, you know, to sort of help get things off the ground, whether it be like a Kickstarter or kind of thing to sort of get things going with it. You know, just to sort of try and get things a little bit faster if things are a little bit slow in terms of sales. And then, but I'm building towards a solid 2018 with some prospects of stuff. So fingers crossed those elements pay off and that will get everything going a lot smoother and faster. And getting the brand really, really off the ground. So that's the goal with it. And there'll be more NLSD merch in that. The uniforms are already available, so you can actually order those. So and there's no minimum order for that. So that's an awesome thing. I'll post up pricing and all that stuff for it in the forum as well.
See if we can set up a page for it as well, maybe. And, some more information for everyone on that. But it's you can actually wear the shirt in the game as well. It's
The Pro-Am Elite shirt. That's what I've named it, NLSC Pro-Am Elite shirt. Obviously based with our Pro-Am logo and stuff that I still love the design for.
Based on the 2001. We love 2001.
The KG cover and all that stuff. Yep. But yeah, sort of like an abstract version of it.
Yep, with our logo combined with that. It's well, as you said, it's our NLSC Pro-Am logo. So you can pick that up for obviously, and we'll have the prices and all the information for the real shirt. But if you're looking at the virtual one, that is 3,500 VC, which I think works out to be over 100,000 in universe dollars. So that's one hell of a You don't if only you were getting a little VC for that as well. You should really get the. But you do get it for free, don't you? You get the shirt for free if you get a design shirt and it gets in. You don't have to buy it yourself, do you? I mean, that's at least something, I guess, that you get.
Yeah, so content creators for that stuff, your shirt gets approved. You actually get the shirt for free, which is good. It's just, people who buy it. But, yeah, it doesn't look like you get VC from those who do purchase it in that sense, which is a kind of a shame. I think, especially given that, it's a pretty high price for a shirt that, the person could potentially get maybe like 1,500 VC out of that. 3,500 VC, so I think that'd would be fair, but yeah, I guess maybe something for next year, especially given the VC controversy of this year, that they might look into doing things like that. With the t-shirt creator thing, I've noticed that the loading to like look through things or to change from submissions and voting and your own submission stuff is a little bit quicker to navigate from this new patch, so that's good to see. But yeah, I think there's a lot of areas if they were to continue that stuff for next year that where they could improve on and absolutely. Where they could actually take it. So one thing I'd like to see in terms of if they could do it for this year because the way they got the shirts broken down is like sleeves, like left sleeve, right sleeve, and torso, and the color wheel thing that you do, it's not like the shoe creator one where you can have like team color aspects, so you have pre-saved colors and all that, so every time you edit one color, if you created like a certain custom color when you go to edit your shoe, you can actually go back and without having to try and match it exactly on the pinwheel of the color, you actually have it like saved within like going through like hitting left or right like a couple of times and that. So but it doesn't do that for the t-shirt creator thing, so you have to constantly try and get it to the exact spot where you had it the previous time, and it can be quite fiddly in that sense. So that'd be one area I wish they could improve on for this year. Just make it as accessible and easy as the shoe creator one, and you're pretty sweet for the rest of this year in terms of that.
Definitely,
just trying to match a certain blue or a certain color, and doing it for each sleeve. It's hard.
And you bring up microtransactions and VC. Obviously, we've got a couple of questions this week. Being the fact that we have been off for a couple of weeks, we can try and make the show not too long. But we have got the questions, and as always, thank you for the topic suggestions that have been sent in. And just thought we'd answer them really quickly because we have touched on them before, but they are interesting points that they've been submitted to us to talk about. We always want to talk about things you want to hear us talk about. And on the subject of microtransactions, basically the question's been posed to us about the future of microtransactions in, I guess, primarily NBA 2K, where they are more of an issue. Live has them as well for Ultimate Team only. But the question is basically, how bad could it get? And we have touched on this before. Do you see it getting worse in 2K19, especially after all the controversy, or do you think 2K might scale it back a bit, considering, or is it? Do you think that maybe with the strength of the brand is going to make them say, well, hey, we're the leader, we can do what we want?
Well, from memory, I think there was a little bit of concern after 2K14, because that's when they really started to sort of really implement the VC system for like the micro area in terms of things. But yeah, then they sort of, you know, made some improvements, obviously, you know, better rewards and all that stuff for it. And then the last couple of years, they sort of crept back on those little rewards, and they sort of, I really hope that they got the message this year with the backlash, especially like if they're looking at the user Metacritic stuff, you know, and the public outlash and all that on forums, YouTube, Twitch, and all that stuff.
Their social media, I don't think, has ever been this negative. I mean, there's always been people complaining, but the fact that there are so many people with legitimate complaints about the VC, that people are that upset about it, and that it's really affected some of the professional reviews, the Metacritic scores, and some of definitely the user Metacritic scores. The fact that it has, I mean, the backlash has been very real this year. They've already kind of responded when they dropped the haircuts to 100 VC. They still should be free. But,
oh, there's like 25% off haircuts at the moment at Docs.
Yeah, so they're still doing things like that. I think maybe it's gotten through. But as for how bad it could get, I mean, it could get really bad, obviously. I mean, if they say, well, hey, we are the brand leader, we're still up on live in sales, we're still getting, you know, 88s, or we're still getting 80-something in professional reviews on Metacritic, and just looking at that rather than the users, and all the users are just complaining, if they want to take that attitude, I could see it getting worse. I would like to think that, however, that the backlash being as fierce as it has been, that it's going to make them think twice. I mean, I still think they should be doing more in the short term as far as making the rewards better. And of course, they've nerfed the player of the half and player of the game in Pro-Am. We mentioned that before.
Yeah.
So they've already nerfed rewards there, and
this is even like post-release from a game.
Yeah. Yeah. They have up the teammate grade, though. You do get a bit more for the teammate grade, I've noticed. So I think they've adjusted that, which...
But even like in the playground or park, you know...
It's ridiculous. Yeah, I don't know how many... I don't know how people upgrade just playing the playground, because you just don't get a lot of VC at all. You would definitely have to play My Career as well as the playground to get those upgrades and to upgrade the badges, I would have to think. But, I mean, it could obviously, you know... Worst case scenario, and we've joked about it and how bad it would be, and I think we've some of our past things that we've said tongue in cheek, I think we've seen come to pass. I mean, obviously, when it comes down to paying for haircuts and things, and tattoos for the players and things like that, and really extortionate prices, especially when you work out the in-universe value of what VC is compared to your rookie contract. You know, the fact we can do that and see that a headband costs $89,000 or whatever it is. Or $28,000, $29,000. Sorry, I should say $29,000, give or take. You know, 1,000 VC, one VC is about $28 in universe. If you work it out from the rookie contract, you know, we're already seeing it being pretty bad. And we joked about that before. What would be VC? You know, do you have to pay VC to complete a dunk in Pro-Am? You know, that's been a running joke as well. Things like that, or finish a layup, I should say. You know, stuff like that. I would like to think that the backlash is going to force them to rethink, though, because it's been pretty bad. The community's been very vocal about it, and there's no way they can just say, oh, it's just live fanboys or it's just haters. Like, people who have been very supportive of 2K and loyal 2K gamers feel ripped off and unhappy. And like I said before, a lot of people are saying they won't buy 2K19. Easier said than done, because 2K has been such a fun and a great product for so many years. It's hard to boycott that, especially if live still isn't quite where people want it to be. You know, if anyone went back on that promise to boycott, I couldn't hold it against them, because I say, look, you know, you want a basketball game, it is hard to boycott the brand leader, you know, fair enough. But the fact that people are so upset about it, and it's not just haters, and it's not just live fanboys, it is loyal 2K gamers, they need to listen to that. Because if they go any further than they have this year, it is going to be very bad, basically.
Yeah, exactly. For me, like, for example, like, shoe price increase for your created stuff, you know, that went up a lot this year as well. Okay, they've done a few things to sort of amend this, you know, not having to pay that much, the whole contract stuff. But again, that was post-release stuff. The fact that, the nerfing of what you earn for stats or and stuff like that for even assist points, you know, they can't continually do that, especially given that, you know, it costs a lot more to actually grind and stuff like that. So I'm really hoping that if they don't get the message this year, then well, in all seriousness, they'd be blind and ignorant as hell.
Greedy AF, basically. If that's the But you know what? There's a couple of things that give me hope here. One, there's been a lot of controversy lately about loot boxes and gambling in games. And of course, Live does the crates, which you can buy, but you can of course earn them with in-game reward points, which add up pretty quickly in Live. And of course, 2K, you can earn VC in game. But there has been so much controversy over microtransactions in AAA games and loot crates and things like that that I think it's going to be an industry-wide thing where developers might have to back off because there could even be regulations on it, basically, legally, might have to back off. The other thing that 2K has done this year that I do have to give credit for, once you get to the level where you can customize your MyCourt, which I think is 75 overall when you hit that, was it 75 or 80? I forget off the top of my head. No, 80 is a t-shirt.
I think
80 is a t-shirt. 75 is my court. That's right. So once you get to the level where you can customize your my court, everything is free this year, as it should be, because everything else costs. If you're going to charge for haircuts and things with all the upgrades, you've got to make something, got to make some allowances. So the fact that they have noticed that and made some concessions there, you know, it makes me think that there is, it's not a complete lost cause as far as the greed is concerned. I think they could make some positive changes there, and certainly, again, with all the backlash that's been very real this year from people who've been very loyal and feel that loyalty has been thrown back in their face, along with a middle finger. You know, this is not a Barbie game, but let's go and pay for haircuts and clothes from the shop. Let's go shopping. and again, that is Ronnie saying that. That is not the developers, but again, you know, it all comes down to the marketing of the game. The fact that it has been that, it could get very bad, but I'm optimistic that it's going to back off a little bit. But I do think they should do more in the short term as far as raising the VC earnings, and I'm disappointed that they haven't done that.
Yeah, and especially taking away the difficulty multiplier as well. It takes away the incentive to want to challenge yourself if you're not getting rewarded for it. So I think, again, those are things there. There was something else I was going to... Damn it, I hate it when it just leaves you. I got it. You know, if they are going to do a thing where, you know, it's focused on the whole cosmetic aspect and obviously the skill stuff, then they should do something like what Live does with the two-tier reward system.
Yeah, actually, absolutely.
Live actually has a three-tier reward system with the rep points and hype stuff and all that stuff. So
yeah, they do actually now, yeah.
So, but, you know, if they implemented two things, so that way you don't have to sacrifice cosmetic item for a skill item, stuff like that, then, you know, that would be a fair system. And again, as long as it's balanced right, like what Live has done, I think they've done a really good job in that. I know the whole meme for this year is 2017, year of the loot crate and all that stuff. I've seen that. It's been thrown around a lot. I think Live has done well in terms of it not being like the focus in terms of it being that it's fundamental in terms of the actual game mode. Like, yes, it's a reward, and you don't have to purchase because you actually, like you said, you know, you build up the reward points enough to get it sooner and all that stuff, or you know, you level up and you get it in that sense. So
yeah, great, it, yeah.
Yeah,
You can buy that. There is microtransactions there in live, the same as Ultimate Team packs, but it's not pushed as much.
Yeah,
and on live's on that front with live has done a good job of avoiding this controversy. They would do well to keep walking that path and not push their luck, because we've seen what 2K has done, and 2K is in a much stronger position than live. So live definitely can't afford that. So live definitely should avoid it.
Yeah, and again, this is one thing I actually stressed back in May. You know, given what we saw with a couple of things from 2K17 and like how, you know, 3-point shots went from 9 VC down to 6 and all that stuff.
Yep.
You know, I was very and said, look, they're nerfing the system, or they're making things more expensive in that sense. So if you want to be the good guy in this thing, you know, avoid it being a key focus of the whole experience in that sense. Yes, you can have it, but don't make it that the entire mode is built around being forced to get it.
Definitely.
I think that's the best way to approach it. And I think Live have done a really good job this year with it. You know, the reward, you know, some rewards, like you might get like a little wristband or like a rubber band around the wrist. Yeah, okay, that's not as satisfying as, you know, something, an item that you'd get, but you know, if you're not having to spend real money in terms of it, you know, you're not feeling not feeling ripped off. Yeah,
not sacrificing a ratings update as well. So that is the big thing. And even the cost of ratings upgrades, especially with the road to 99. So it's the grind we've talked about before. So basically, yeah, it could get bad, but hopefully it doesn't. And I do have some optimism. I don't know about you, but I think the backlash is just going to be too much to ignore, and I think they're going to have to back off a little bit. As you noted, they did do that after 2K14 for a couple of years, so maybe they've pushed their luck and they're hearing it now and they've realised, okay, we need to avoid that in the future, and they absolutely do.
Yeah, you know, I think even with games like GTA now, people are starting to, like, I'm really noticing, like, I'm not playing it as much, and I know a lot of people aren't, just because of the sheer amount of cost of the items to buy in that game now. You're like, you got the Batmobile type from, like, the old, Tim Burton sort of era.
Oh, the Tim Burton, the late 80s, early 90s. I like that design.
Yeah.
I guess that's the one we grew up with, I suppose, so.
Yeah, that's still one of my favorite designs. And, you know, they got a version of like that. It's not quite as, like, smooth-edged and all that stuff, but, you know, it reflects a lot of that look. And, you know, that's, like, 3.75 million to earn in-game. And, you know, given that it can take, let's see, if you do one of the car heist sort of things where you steal, like, a high-end, top-range luxury car, you mod it up, you get, well, aside from, if you don't crash it, delivering it, and you don't crash it, or if you don't crash it, capturing it, and then crash it, delivering it, and you do it up, spending the 20,000 to do it up, you'll make about 80,000 in profit.
Right.
But, you know, it can take like 10, 20 minutes to be able to do that sort of thing. Trying to make sure that no one steals it off you, destroys it on you, and all that sort of thing. So you got to try and navigate you around the map with other gamers who might be like 12-year-olds who are like hell bent on just
trolling
so.
Absolutely, and it's like you say, you know, the whole year of the loot box, things like that. The backlash against microtransactions in AAA games is industry wide at this point, genre wide. You know, we're kind of getting to the point where companies have been pushing their luck with it, and hopefully, you know, it may be wishful thinking because they're not going anywhere, but certainly being fairer about it, I think. Yeah. Is going to be the way to go, and, you know, fingers crossed. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, it's all about that balance. Find a good balance that's fair for all. Yes, okay, we don't mind that you make a little bit of extra money here and there, but yeah, don't screw us over in that sort of thing.
Definitely. The other question we have this week, once again from I believe it was G-Monster that sent it in, so thank you once again. And of course, since we are looking to be back on the air every week, be sure to hit us up. I've gotten rid of the separate topic for topic suggestions in the forum for the podcast. Might as well keep it all in the one place. That was getting confusing. So just hit us up there with not just your thoughts on the show, but what you'd like to hear us talk about as well in future episodes. But the other question is basically, you know, the issue of releasing unpolished or unfinished games, and we've seen this again. This is a problem that a lot of genres these days a lot of people feel that it's all about the day one patch. You know, there's very rarely a game that's released with a day one patch. I think some of it is the nature of games these days. I mean, back in the days of cartridges and things, and even when discs came along, but you didn't have the hard drive to push through updates for games. You know, back in the day, you really had to make sure a game didn't have too many issues, if it, especially if it was on console. I mean, they did some second pressings of discs and cartridges, version 1.1 or whatever. The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time, Ben, on the Nintendo 64. The first issue, first version of that, I should say, the gold cartridge, version 1, during the final battle with Ganondorf, he bleeds red blood. That's changed to green in the 1.1, the grave cartridge. So, oh, wow. And I believe they also fixed a couple of issues as well, a couple of glitches that people could use for speedruns and things. So they did do second versions of games back in the day, and arcade machines would have different versions, different software would be installed, etc. So they did do different versions, but obviously these days, you know, you do have the luxury of pushing through the updates. Games have become so much more sophisticated than they used to be, and there's lots more variables than the online content and everything, and stuff that you don't find until it gets out into the wild. So I can understand why they do the patches, and I'd rather have a day one patch than have to wait 2 months for something to be patched. So there is definitely a merit to the whole, to the approach. But as it pertains to basketball games, NBA Live, NBA 2K, it's just such a tight schedule. And I think, you know, they say, why release every year? But you want something new for each season, and you don't want to wait 2 years for some issues to be fixed. So there is that demand for the annual releases for sports games. That is the way it's done now. Less than 12 months, I guess, to get it out. With the NBA season getting earlier, and even last year before it was pushed back, the game is brought forward. The game is brought forward as well. 2K17 released, early, and as did 2K18 this year. So, yeah, it's kind of the nature of the beast, unfortunately, with how deep the games are, how big they are, how comprehensive, the time that it takes. You know, I think there really needs to be that solid product day one, absolutely, but it. To in defense of EA and 2K, it is easier said than done.
Yeah. I mean, one solution, I guess, that I kind of been alluding to with maybe like the NBA Jam and NBA Street and all that stuff, is, you know, have two teams working on those games. And then, you know, one gets released 1 year, one gets released the other year. So, you know, it's an alternating year, but, you know, it gives the teams like 2 years to work on it. And again, this is something also Agent 00 talked about in a video he did actually just this past week or so, is maybe they should look at doing what like Activision does with Treyarch and what's the other studio? The two teams that work on the Call of Duty franchise, although he used Ubisoft, but Ubisoft actually uses 8 studios per game to make, like, an Assassin's Creed and all that stuff. So not quite the example going for, but like with Treyarch and the other one that they use for the Call of Duty, so is one team's working on one game and then the other team's working on it. And yes, the game comes out annually, but
it's Sledgehammer Games.
Sledgehammer, that's the one. Yeah.
So we've got Infinity Ward, Treyarch and Sledgehammer Games. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, it alternates. So that way, you know, the games can be polished and the games can be, you know, have those depths and stuff. Yes, that'll, you know, boost costs, but given that these games do make a lot and given that both 2K and EA are very profitable in a lot of things, I think could be done, especially maybe at the beginning of, like, a next-gen cycle sort of thing, like when it's building up to that sort of thing. You know, if they really want to... I suppose in this case, you know, transitioning from Ignite to Frostbite, you know, it might be an opportunity for a second team to sort of have those things ready. So that way, you know, maybe in the second year, they can have it all done. But, you know, they still have like a game that comes out in between that year and all that from when they started working on it, or to when they actually want to properly release the game right on Frostbite and that. So... I know. I think there's a possibility that could be considered an option, especially given the deadlines are getting tighter in terms of when the game's coming out. I think both games coming out a month before the season two is, I think, a little bit excessive at this stage, especially, you know, given that, you know, we're waiting for content updates, like roster updates and all that stuff. I think the NBA, because the NBA actually one is that dictates their release dates and stuff as well.
It is. And that has been a problem. I mean, you look at my career, for example, with the Bulls, I've got Dwayne Wade on there because I started that. You start the career when the game comes out because you want to get right into it. You want to start getting, you know, building up your player, especially for online. So you can't really wait that much. No. I mean, if you start a new My Career today, you'll have the right rosters. They do that. So that's good. But then I've already, you know, spent a bit of money to upgrade my player quickly because, again, if you're going to play online, you've either got to really grind or shell out a bit of money to get that initial boost, because a lot of other people do. And you know, we've already talked about microtransactions in the previous segment, of course, but people say, well, just don't pay the money, which, in theory, you know, is the right stance to take. But when you're playing online and other people have, and you've got to try and catch up, it kind of forces you to at least consider shelling out the money. So that is something obviously from the last segment, which is what you do. But again, and of course you are playing the game for at least a month or so before the NBA season starts, so the rosters are out of date. And you say the content updates haven't come through yet. So that really early release doesn't give the developers as much time. And there's from our gaming standpoint, as for us as consumers, the slightly later release benefits us as well, not only from the better product and more polished product, but also, you know, having the content more up to date at launch. So, you know, I think it's very hard on the developers who are already 16, 17 hour days in some case during crunch time. You talk about it being a dream job, and I guess in many respects it is. And we've had Leftos and John on the show talking about how much they love being in the industry these days, but it's a hell of a grind from that end as well. To say nothing of the grind that we have to do. At least our grind is playing a game, not trying to do a job.
Yeah.
So, you know, at least we can say, well, if we get sick of the grind, we can say, okay, I'm going to play something else. Like, that is their job. They can't just go and do something else. Their grind is work. So it's, I think it would benefit us ultimately in the long run. Do you think we'd ever see it where we get a game maybe launched at the beginning of the other generation, for example, and then a new version comes out maybe a couple of years later, but in the meantime you get expansion packs for the new rosters and things like that? Do you think that would be viable, or do you think it's a case of, well, you've got to have the new content in the card collecting modes and franchise and things they can't patch into the game? That's another reason why I think with the basketball games and sports games in general, it'd be hard to do the expansion pack, and you kind of need to have that annual release for the new season.
Yeah, I think there's got to be a lot of trickiness into that. And, you know, I suppose New Year, especially if, say, like the NBA changes a lot of rules like it did this year in terms of, you know, the rosters and contract stuff.
Yeah, you're not always going to be able to patch it in.
Yeah, so... Yeah, unless they have the systems in place to do it, it becomes somehow viable. But I think they're kind of locked in terms of things for that year aspect. So I think it'd be too great of a challenge.
Yeah,
but
I mean, if it was feasible and they just said, okay, here's the new content for the new rosters and everything. That's the $20 expansion pack or whatever, and then you've still got the microtransactions from new content and stuff coming in through my team, Ultimate Team, whatever. And if that was a viable business method, and if it didn't affect the experience, I think people would definitely consider buying those expansion packs. But yeah, it's just feasibility, I guess.
Yeah, and do they make it for that thing, like that the game would technically have a 2-year lifestyle, but do like a season pass thing, like we were talking about in previous podcasts, like with what like NBA Playgrounds maybe should have done in regards to, so that way the second season, you know, yes, they'll still make some money, but you know they won't have to worry about like distribution costs in a lot of cases, you know, because the game would already technically be out.
But NBA Playgrounds has had its issue that on the Switch they're actually pushing through a brand new version of the game that's got all the updates because they haven't been able to push through the updates for the Switch. So again, the feasibility of updates, especially on different platforms, is a concern. So something I want to put out there again. Obviously, we are critical of things in the games, but we do have respect for our friends and acquaintances, and of course, people we don't know as well in the industry, for both EA and 2K. And it is easier said than done to do everything we want to see in the games. You know, we've talked to developers before. We've had Sean O'Brien on the podcast, who's, you know, as he put it, you know, he'd love to take the game that he sees in his head and put it out there, but it's, you know, it takes time. It takes, you know, a lot of effort and to get it all right and everything. And I don't like the whole thing that the producers, the developers and programs and everything are lazy, things like that. I don't think it's laziness or not caring about the product. I think sometimes it just goes wrong. They're trying to do their best, and with the short development cycle, there are issues that, of course, mean that it has to be a day one patch and issues go wrong. Sometimes you make a bad design choice, you know. I guess I've done this with redesigning the NLSC at times. You know, you make a choice that you think is going to work out, and then people don't like it, you know, and it turns out to not be such a great idea. So you can err, you know, to err is human, after all. So, you know, it's what we can certainly criticize certain decisions and directions of the game, but, you know, I don't think that anything has... Microtransactions may be a greedy... obviously, that's a greedy choice, and that probably comes from higher up in the company anyway, but nobody sets out to make a bad game. So it is, you know, you're doing the best they can, and in many cases doing some very impressive stuff in a very short amount of time for the development of a video game. And it's just the way it goes sometimes, and it's certainly not through a lack of effort that I think some of these things happen. It's human error and you know, the tight schedule they're on.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So thank you for those questions. Always interesting to touch on those topics. Keep those topic suggestions coming. We'll fit them in whenever we can. Bit of a long show this week because we have been off for a couple of weeks, but always good to get back in and talk about basketball games, Ben. I've missed it the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, same. You know, it was just, yeah, a few things just didn't pan out in terms of timing and that, and Mother Nature got in the way in one case. So.
Yeah, that's right. And it happens, but... Of course, you know, we haven't been talking about basketball games. Well, I've been writing the articles, of course, but we have been playing basketball games, and it is time to talk about those games in our week in basketball gaming.
The alley-oop! Oh, what a play!
It looks simple, but it's hard to execute.
Or should that be our 2 or 3 weeks in basketball gaming, I suppose, to catch up on? Let's, of course, start off with some 2K Pro-Am. The NLSC squad. We're not doing too badly, actually, compared to last year. I think we're off to a better start. If not for a few rough nights, we'd actually have a winning record at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, we're 15-19 at the moment, but yeah, we had a winning night on Friday, and I think we were about 50-50 the week before, weren't we, or something like that, or maybe a similar.
Yeah, we've had some good runs where we've. At worst, gone 500 on the night, and in some cases won 2 or 3, and only lost the one. We had a very embarrassing loss actually on Friday night. We lost to a team that was 4-21. We were up big on them, and they just we had one of our trademark third quarter collapses. Unfortunately, they outscored us 22-6 in the third, and it felt like we were getting screwed a bit as well here and there on some turnovers and such. But we just couldn't buy a bucket. Nothing was working. We probably, in retrospect, probably should have called a timeout to kill the momentum and some of the cold streak. But that was a tough loss to endure. And we almost came back and got it after we let it slip away. But, man, that third quarter, that was rough.
Yeah. Was that one where, I think in an inbound just before the end of the quarter, you got it, but it went into that can animation where you just sort of fumbled it and nearly actually went out of bounds just before the end of that quarter.
Not sure if it was that one or another one, but that was an annoying moment from one of the games that night. Yeah, that was this past Friday. I don't know if it was against them, but
maybe in game. Well, that may have been the second.
I think that was the game where I had a bunch of turnovers as well, or that might have been.
Yeah,
but like I had three in the first quarter, which doesn't happen. But two of them happened in rapid succession, which was very frustrating. Like I got a turnover, then they got the ball back, and then it got a turnover again. Like, oh, you're just trying to take my VC now, aren't you? You're just trying to kill my grade. But we had a pretty good run. Apart from that, we were competitive at least.
Yeah,
we all got at least one double double on the night. I got 3, X got 4, and you got 1 as well. And
I should really had like another four or six of them, but just could not get that 10th rebound or something in like a quarter or a quarter and a half. It just felt like the game was just denying me the opportunity to get it.
Starting to get a hang of I'm hitting some threes now, which is nice from the corner. I'm starting to knock that down. So the sharpshooting playmaker hybrid build is starting to pay off a little bit.
I'm starting to get a couple every now and then, but I try not to take too many, obviously. But yeah, you know, I'll tend to at least get one or two a session that we play.
We got in one of the games. We were getting that you cutting down the lane and me making the pass from half court and hitting you for the dunk. We did so much of that in 2K17 Pro-Am, and we got that working. So that was fun. That was the night I got the 22 assists. So I was happy to have a 20 assist game. That's the first one for 2K18. And you had that. You had a couple of ridiculous reverse dunks, actually. And there was one was a 3-point play, which was incredible. It looked like the ball kind of warped into the hoop, but we'll take it.
At first I didn't know I'd made it until Exit said, I gave him the assist, and I was like, what, that went in?
Yeah, it went in, yeah. And the other one, as I got to you went down the lane, I thought you were just doing like an adjusted layup, and I'm like, oh no, that's going to miss. And you did like a reverse 180 windmill, basically. Yeah. You did a 180 reverse also with the windmill, kind of like Jason Richardson in the dunk contest all those years ago. It was kind of like that. And that was jaw-dropping in a good way, that one. That was entertaining, that one. So we had some good moments, some fun moments, and we went the 3-2. Really should have been 4-1, but we let that one that slip against the 4-21 team.
We bobbled that one.
Yeah, that was tough. Like I said afterwards, like, that's a bad loss. We won the game afterwards, and it was pretty good, and it kind of almost got the taste out of our mouths, but yeah, that was a rough one to endure. And the weeks before, we had a bit of more of a rough go, but I mean, obviously, 15-19 is not a fantastic record. We're not boasting that. We never claim to be the best Pro-Am team out there. We're definitely more on the casual side when it comes to that. Although we try to compete, but we're not aiming for esports here. We would actually have a winning record if not for a couple of games that where we kind of got screwed and whatever. But we would have a winning record by now, and I think we can get one this year because we are playing a bit better, despite some of the issues. The stats are a bit lower because some of the wins have admittedly been the forfeits. That's a shame when that happens and it drops the stats. Not quite getting my double-double this year. Well, although I do have the most double-doubles on the team again, because that's kind of what happens when you hog the ball for assists. when you pull a rondo. It has been... Like I said, as frustrating as it is at times, at the same time, we just keep coming back to it, because I think there is still that underlying enjoyment. And definitely, well, first of all, getting the assist on alley-oops means I'm, you know, and they're starting to connect better now, so that's good. You know, once I get the lob passer badge again, that'll be good to get, and we can get, now that I know it's going to get the assist, it's like, oh well, you know, we're not going to, there's reason, we can finish the alley-oops and I can get an assist on it, there's a reason to do it, basically. And, you know, I had the fun moments, sort of hitting the threes, and X was hitting those threes, getting green releases. X changed his shot, and that's really working out well. And, you know, you hit a couple of threes. Free throws are still iffy because they really messed up on free throws this year with the free throw mechanics.
Actually, I mentioned to you last night, I missed a 98% free throw.
With the gold badge.
The gold badge.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
So that for me was an utter surprise. It's like, what? And I've actually had one where it was 100%, instead of saying excellent and in green, it was still rated good.
That's weird.
So I've got video and screenshots of those, but that surprised the hell out of me too. I was like, okay, so it's 100%, but it's not good enough to be excellent.
So there's been the fun moments. We can get the lobs going. We can get some of the plays going again. We're being competitive. It's been fun despite the frustrating elements of online play, which is always there. The zigzag cheese definitely, you know, as we mentioned earlier in the show,
that helps.
The fact they've gotten rid of that. And Beluba did mention that it is a side effect of, with the dribble fatigue, apparently the new motion system, I hadn't accounted for that with the sideways movement. I mean, the zigzag cheese was there last year with the old motion system, but, you know, whatever the case may be, they seem to have addressed it in patch 105. I definitely noticed the difference because there was a lot of people trying that zigzag stuff and they're missing threes. And I'm like, yep, yeah, that's the over dribbling and then putting up a three and missing. Like, yeah, good. That's how it should be. So, yeah. So that's been pleasing to see. But we reached the pro level. Obviously, we got the 10 wins. Not this week, last week or the week before, I think it was.
Last week.
We reached the 10 wins and got to the pro level. Doesn't seem like we actually unlocked anything, though.
No, all customization stuff that, because you get this notification saying, oh, congratulations, da da da, you can now edit and all that stuff. Turns out that's already done in the first part of when you set up the team. So I haven't been able to see anything new that we could actually add. So that was disappointing to see that. I was hoping, because yeah, I told everyone to leave the Prime Arena so that way I could get the customization stuff done. But yeah, so. Hopefully we can get enough of a streak to get to that elite system to be able to do the full customization to what we want. We don't really expect to make like elite 3 or 4 and all that stuff. We just want to get at least to that first tier.
Just long enough to get into the to get a logo in there, basically to do that. I still think that should be at the pro tier. I also think that they should be more open about how you get there. I mean, you look at the road to 99, you can see what you get at every level. Why couldn't they have done that for Pro-Am and say that, you know, this is how many wins you need to get, this is the percentage you need to get? To have it happen so randomly again, didn't they learn from last year? It was frustrating last year, it's frustrating this year.
Yeah, it's. I think I made the comment that it seems like the notification thing was copied and pasted from last year. So,
Remember last year you had to win the 10 games to actually customize the jersey. So I was surprised we could do that at the beginning. So maybe that was a glitch.
Yeah.
Like maybe we shouldn't have been able to customize our jerseys until now, but now we can. So I don't know. But I do think they need to be more transparent about that. We've talked about that before, about how 2K needs to be more transparent about details like that. And it's you can't get it should not get a shrug in response to that question. There should be a definitive answer of how do you get to elite tier. Apart from just winning a lot of games, like okay, how many games? What's your winning percentage have to be, etc. So
exactly
that is frustrating.
Yeah, I don't think that's too much. So it's just a simple, basic level communication. You know, it's like instead of it making it like a lucky lottery dip or lucky dip or whatever you want to call it.
Very random,
so yeah, because yeah, last year seemed very random how people got it.
Like, was us. We got it with a losing record last year.
Yeah.
Very briefly. And it's, again, they've done it with the road to 99. They've shown what you get at each level to level up. So for them to show the requirements and the cutoff and everything for Pro-Am, it would be much better. Also, it's got to be better for matchmaking. I think that has helped our experience a bit, though. The matchmaking is a bit better, especially as teams have spread out into the elite tier and everything. But
yeah.
I look at what Rocket League does with their matchmaking and their divisions and everything. I do think that Pro-Am should be the same, especially if they are going to take a more of an esports approach to it. They need to have those different divisions within pro and amateur and everything, and really have, depending on what your record is, and if you lose a few games, you go down the division, and it helps with the matchmaking. Because as you know, we were talking about it before we started recording. As you noted, you know, you want to dip your toe in. You don't want to drown or get attacked by sharks. You know, if you're new to it, you want to get eased into it. And there is some matchmaking with the amateur with amateur or pro with amateur when you can't find one and such. But it could be better. And it's a turn-off for the mode if you're new. And you get thrown in there with a much better team. It just needs to have that better matchmaking, basically, for a better experience. And again, Sonics has done that with Rocket League. So, and they've obviously got esports going with Rocket League. So I think 2K should take some cues from them, because they've done a really good job with their matchmaking and everything. So they really need to do that, especially as 2K gets into esports.
Yeah, and I think especially given the experience that we had the first night we played Pro-Am, where we were playing like essentially was it elite tier already?
Yeah, I mean there were teams that they were all starting out, but they were definitely elite. You know, that they were the kind of people who really are into it, play very hardcore, and probably would want to go for esports if they could. So
yeah,
and it's you know, being the more casual players, you do get that. It's a bad matchup, certainly if you people who even if you, you know, are trying to play more seriously, but you haven't been able to upgrade your players yet, to get thrown in there with people who have paid money to upgrade their players and been grinding hardcore to get all the badges and everything, it's very unbalanced in that case, and it's just not a fun experience. So I do think that needs to be better, but it has been getting better in recent weeks. So I have to give it that, and I think we've gotten the badges, much like last year, it has been a bit better, and I think because earning the badges has been a bit better in 2K18, I do think it is better because it was a lot of grinding to get badges last year in 2K17. Right. Like I to get my to max out my diamond badge. Well, I was able to get Hall of Fame level last year, of course, because I had the pure. Because last year was all pure archetypes, but I had to get 1,200 assists in a season. So you basically had to play the full season to get the Hall of Fame diamond badge. Whereas I've already maxed out at gold with having really been grinding it across all the modes to get all the assists. So I do think the badge approach is better, and we have been getting the badges, and it's made a difference as it did last year.
Yeah, for sure. I've got my silver glue hands now, so hopefully I'll be dropping the ball less.
Well, depends how the can situation goes, but
yeah,
so you've been playing a bit more.
In theory,
you've been playing a bit more My Career than I have. I haven't played My Career, I think, for a week or so. I've just been playing online with.
I'm nearly finished March at this stage in the season, so yeah, I'm getting close to playoff stage, and teams on a 17 game win streak.
Nice,
which has been good, but we had Whiteside out for a couple of games in it, so. That made it hard, but we got a couple of wins in that streak. But yeah, it was getting close to finishing up the season. Less than a month into the regular season before the playoffs. So
I did get my first triple double of the year. The other game, which was nice. I'm still. It's funny. I've actually had more assists. The 22 assists in the Pro-Am game is more than I've been able to manage in a full game of my career yet so far, and that includes an overtime game as well. But Lonzo Ball has a season high of 18, and my season high is 17. So I need to get the season high, like the league high now. So that's my current objective in my career, is to get some big assist numbers and do that. But I've been having some good scoring games lately as well. The shot, because I've been watching some of Agent 00's videos and his shooting, his advice on shooting, picking the right base and everything. See, I didn't know. I thought it was all in the shot, but really the release animation, the shooting animation itself, is just the visual cue.
Yep.
But it's all about the first percentage of what you get as far as a green release goes. It is actually the base, which is very important information to know. And I definitely recommend checking out Asian Double Zero's. You know, he's got some great videos in general, entertaining stuff. But his shooting videos are very informative, and that was great information to know. And I currently am using one of his forms that he mentioned. Might still tweak it a little bit for my needs, but it is definitely working out a little bit better. Still, that issue with shooting, though, with good releases not being as good as slightly early or slightly late releases. And even if you don't pay attention to the meter, even if you look at the shooting form to have that visual cue, you can get a bit more. You can get more excellent releases doing that. But at the same time, it still seems a little bit broken as far as good releases not being good enough. Like, good is almost near perfect. Near perfect should have the next highest percentages. Should it not? I mean, that makes sense to me, but it still has a problem. And free throws, obviously, less of an issue in the NBA because NBA players have proper ratings. But the way they've done it with the free throw ace badge this year for my players in my career and all the connected modes, yeah, like you say, when you're missing a 98% free throw, when it seems like 60% free throws are a higher percentage, that's just off. That's wrong, basically.
That's true. Wow, hang on. I was just checking my record in the season. Looks like I might only have two games left because I'm at 80 games.
Okay,
my win-loss record in the NBA is 47-33.
So you've really been putting in the work to get through the season. Yeah, I'm only in December, so I'm still a fair way behind. Again, because it's been so quick to get the badges, I've had less incentive to play my career. And again, two games to play this year, so it could have. Dividing your time between the two,
but it's actually weird because it's showing that I've got Atlanta and OKC, Toronto. Oh, it's saying I got Atlanta, New York, OKC, and Toronto.
Huh. haven't accidentally simulated or anything?
One game I accidentally did sim, because I actually, it was just like early in the season and that, I accidentally didn't sim, but yeah, so, because yeah, I'm at the 4th of April at this stage, so I have actually finished March, okay. So 4th of April, then 6th of April, 9th of April, 11th, and then 12th is looking like when playoffs and stuff. Well, there's like an NBA logo, so I'm assuming that's like the next sort of scene leading up to the playoffs. So yeah, I've only got 4 games left, even though it's saying that I've played 80. There's no preseason game, is there?
No, did you play the All-Star game?
Yes, and the rookie game.
I wonder if it's counted that as...
yeah.
Regular season statistics. That could be a bug right there.
Yeah. I noticed another thing too, like when I was playing the Knicks the other night, you know how it brings up like the stat overlays or, you know, the types of scoring that team has done.
Oh, yeah.
It was saying that the backcourt, or the frontcourt, sorry, which was Bazingas and Melo, because again, started before the season started, obviously. So that's why Melo's still on Knicks. He was saying that they're scoring all 100% of their scoring attempts was from 3.
Huh.
So there's been a couple little things like that. There's also been another issue, like with everyone's, like when it shows tendencies for like players from like the season and stuff like that, all their stats seem to go down. Like I haven't seen anyone's sort of stats go up through the year. So I don't know if there's like an issue there or anything.
Might be, yeah.
So it's just, yeah, like every time I hear the commentary and see the like this, that overlay thing, it always has a declining aspect, like that they don't improve out through the year. They actually get worse in terms of whether you have to be scoring or something like that. So I don't know. I don't know if that's, yeah, again, if it's an issue there or like a little bug thing or minor thing.
I did have that last year in 2K17, except it was Danilo Gallinari whose rebounding numbers were going down. But my rebounding numbers were going up because I was getting all those quadruple and triple doubles towards the end of the year. So I think I was just taking all these rebounds, basically. So that was my doing. But
this case has been for players on other teams. That
right,
have been
yeah, so against. that's definitely strange that the production's going up, whether it's a glitch or whatever.
Yeah.
Speaking of 2K17, I did actually... I kept it installed on PC, but of course I played mostly PS4 last year with my career in Pro-Am, of course. I reinstalled that, and there was an issue when it seemed to have locked up, so I quit out, and it said that my data was corrupt, and like, oh, please don't tell me I haven't lost that. Because the whole reason I put it back on was to, if I wanted just to play a bit more of my career here and there before the servers get shut down. And I was able to resolve that and haven't lost anything and got my player back and everything and up to date in the second season. So... I'm happy I didn't lose any data, so that's the whole thing. Like, oh, please don't tell me I've done this on purpose by going back to the dashboard when it all locked up. But, yeah, so I've got that reinstalled on there just so I can do it. And until the server shut down, obviously. Actually, it'd be interesting to see if we could go on to 2K17 and play a 2K17 Prime game. It'd be interesting to see if anyone's still playing that. That might be fun to experiment and see if anyone's actually still on there doing it. and also to compare the experience, having played 2K18 so recently. So might have to queue that up at some point.
Yeah, I'll need to reinstall the game myself.
Yeah, yeah.
Hopefully, I'll still be able to access like my save data and all that stuff as well. So
as long as you get the patch and let all the data download and wait for it, you should be fine. That's my advice after at the moment of panic of thinking I've lost everything. also played a bit of NBA Playgrounds recently. I got the Hot and Frosty DLC. So, just to see, it's fun to play through the new tournaments and it's something to upgrade your players and everything with and get the rest of the players. But yeah, it's still ultimately, it should have been added for free. There should have been more content in the game, in the single player as of launch, basically. There's so much more they could do with the game. The AI and everything is still kind of cheap. You know, it still falls short of on Fire Edition and even some of the older Jam games as well. But it's still fun. But I do think that Saber, they could have done a better job with it, unfortunately. But, it's turned out okay. And obviously it's sold really well. But I think they really have lost some of that goodwill when they released the DLC instead of just pushing it through as a free update.
Yeah, because I remember we were like praising all the post-release support and all that stuff and how they were communicative and all that stuff. So... yeah, it does seem like a big step backwards in terms of what's happened there.
And definitely, if they do build this into a series, that content, there needs to be something like much more tournaments, much more single-player stuff. And I think having to upgrade every single player and grind that much for packs and everything, I think has been it's been the wrong way to go. Because by the time you do all that and grind everything up, you're sick of the game. And it should never be that. It should be once there should be a whole new gameplay experience. Once you've done that grind and got everything, there should be still gaming that you want to play. And that's I think, where they've fallen short in that respect. But, of course, I've said that before. But I did want to pick it up just so I'd have some extra gameplay extra things to play here and there. And it's 15 Australian, so it is a bit more expensive. We thought there would be that markup, and, of course, there is, because it's got to come all the way overseas, over the internet, I suppose. That's the way it goes with digital content in Australia, sadly. But yeah, so I gave it a try, and it was all right. So that's basically what I've been playing this week, and a bit of live here and there as well. Still need a lot of Ultimate Team challenges, because we've got all the historical players starting to come through in live Ultimate Team now as well. So I need to get in the challenges to get them.
Yeah, since I'm not big on those sort of card versions of that, but seeing that there's more like historic players and that coming in, that's pretty cool. I've been doing a little bit more playing. Obviously, I've been playing a lot more of 2K, getting a lot of that my career stuff done, as we just noted earlier. Still haven't done like much of a play now element for the game or started the My League sort of stuff yet, and that's purely because with the roster stuff, like every time they add new shoes or accessories and stuff like that, you got to create a new roster to do that. So I'm still waiting for that to sort of be addressed. They did address it last year, so I'm hoping it still could be done this year. Like, you know, at a certain point, you know, as a roster as of such and such date, we'll still be able to, you know, have this new content, whether it be uniforms or shoes and stuff like that added. So I think I'll wait for that. If it hasn't come by like Christmas, then I might consider starting it then. I've been playing a bit. Oops, sorry.
I was going to say, I'm getting ready to start my league, I think, now that the patch has come through. Although I might wait for it on the PC to come through there if I'm going to start. I haven't decided which version I'm going to play the my league on. But yeah, now you got to get the right roster and those issues ironed out. At least they're ironing out those issues with the free agency in my league and my GM now. So
Yeah. I think the other thing I've been doing as well is been playing a bit more NBA Live as well this week. I tried knocking down some time to get that. For me, it was all trying to get the grind stuff and try and build up so that way we can try and get to what we thought was going to be that pro thing where we can sort of really do some more customization for Prime. So it's looking like, yeah, it's going to be another couple of weeks before then. So yeah, I spent more time in Live and tried actually a few different types of things, from just a normal NBA play now to a WNBA play now, which I did just before we started recording, and also a bit more of the league for the one. And, you know, been enjoying that. And yeah, good to see the little changes since the new patches and stuff have come in as well. So yeah, game's feeling solid and stuff, like I alluded to before, and how it's evolved from back in May. So that's really cool.
So, yeah, we've been playing a bit of online and offline stuff and still enjoying our basketball gaming. That's why we're here doing the NLSC, obviously. So, yep. When the site went down, I desperately was up all night trying to fix it with the techs. And shout out to the techs on our hosts for helping me out with that. Hopefully it won't be an issue moving forward, or be something that I'll be able to fix very quickly from my end. So, yeah, we still have our basketball gaming, basically.
Yep. I know for a little period, because I knew patch 105 was coming out, I kind of spent a couple of days when waiting for it was just sort of creating shoes and colorways and stuff that weren't in the game and that. So that was kind of how I spent a few of my days and stuff waiting for that to come on, waiting for that patch, which did actually seem to take a little while because I knew about it for a little bit. But yeah, so that was a surprise in how long that one took to come out. To release.
Hopefully not as quick. Hopefully not as long, I should say, for 106, especially with these the neighborhood freezes. Because I love my box jumps. they get me a turbo boost if nothing else.
You know, I think I think that will help release a patch sooner, because it is, like I mentioned, more of a game-breaking sort of thing compared to the cosmetic thing, like with the whole closet issue that happened with patch 104 and that. So, so fingers crossed that, you know, that issue will be resolved pretty quickly for everyone in that sense. What else have I been doing? That's really about it. Just grinding through the My Career stuff to try and get to 85 for the next sort of level stuff and to build for Prime. That's really all I've been doing. And building and creating the shirts, obviously, once they get voted through. So, yeah.
Now that I'm at 80, well, I'm 84 now, I'll have to see if I can get a shirt of mine in as well, see if I can come up with something funny. But, yeah, I guess that has been our week, or our last few weeks in basketball gaming. We will keep talking about that as always. And, of course, we encourage you to share your stories about your basketball gaming experiences in the NLSC forum and comments on articles and, of course, the podcast as well. So we want to have fun with the basketball games, of course, so want to get into the discussion. Before we wrap up this week, just want to touch on a couple of NBA topics because the NBA season, of course, tipping off. Actually, it tipped off before we... when was our last show? I think the season hadn't started. I think it was that we were looking forward to the season.
I think it was
October 15th. Yeah, it's been that long. We've been out for a couple of weeks or 3 weeks. So yeah, the NBA season, of course, tipped off a couple of days after the podcast, and the very first game. And I was watching the game, and Gordon Hayward, that's the big story, I guess, in the league early on, is broke his leg. And dislocated his ankle and broke his leg in the very first game, not even six minutes into the season, and it was a gruesome injury to watch.
Yeah, this one I've actually tried to avoid watching. I heard it was pretty bad, so with me, with leg injuries, I can't really watch them, especially experiencing someone snap their shin right in front of you in the middle of a game.
Yeah.
Like basically the guy was like half a foot in front of me when it happened, so yeah, it was... Don't want to go through that again.
Not at all. Despite the injury, the Celtics are 7-2, so they're on top of the East at the moment.
Yeah, and on a 7-game win streak as well.
7-game winning streak. Kyrie Irving obviously acquired during the offseason. NBA 2K18 cover player, of course. Detroit 7-3, right behind them.
Yeah, that's a good turnaround for them for this year, considering, you know, last year was pretty bad, or you know, not a great season for them in that sense. So.
And yeah, Orlando, obviously, they're 6-3. They've been surprising everyone with their improvement so far. Philadelphia 5-4. The process is finally starting to pay off. And how good is Ben Simmons looking? That's fantastic to see.
It's been awesome to watch, and I'm glad I got him on one of my fantasy league teams.
So, 2 triple-doubles in his first 9 games. First player since Oscar Robertson to do that. In fact, the only 2 players. Quickest, along with Robertson and Hambone Williams, to get the first career triple-double within the first 4 games of his career. Basically the best stats of any Australian for starting out their career. First Australian to get a triple-double.
Yeah.
In the NBA. I mean, it's happened in the NBL, I would imagine, so yeah. Multiple times, but in the NBA. He is, you know, obviously front-runner for Rookie of the Year. I would have to imagine at this point, if this stays up, and I mean, not just Rookie of the Year, we're talking about like an all-star appearance in the first season if he keeps up this level of play.
Yeah, I think he's been that solid. Just amazing, like the comparisons, like from players like with Magic and LeBron and even Jordan, in terms of like and Oscar Robertson, in terms of the early stats, things that he's broken it already.
Combined points, rebounds, and assists, I think, through the first 5 games or something.
3 games was 160...
169.
Yeah, and Jordan was...
167.
167, yeah.
So, I mean, pretty good company. And look, there's all kinds of things. We can read too much into stats and everything like that. I mean, the fact that in that company is Hambone Williams, who probably a lot of people don't remember, and certainly I'd never heard of him, actually, until I looked it up. And, oh, okay. And when I looked it up, someone had actually vandalized his Wikipedia page to say that he'd scored 70,000 points in the NBA, and also had a very lewd story about how he got his nickname. So that was definitely vandalism on the Wikipedia page. I'll have to check to see if it's still there and show you after we've finished recording. But you know, it is what it is, and certainly big numbers. you know, and LeBron, of course, getting the youngest to 29,000 helps when you enter the league at 18. Just throwing it out there. People don't like me saying it, but, you know. And 57 points, big game against the Wizards the other day. Cavs are actually off to a slow start, 4-5.
Yeah, that's a bit concerning for them.
Definitely surprising.
Yeah.
Giving up 113 points a game at the moment. Knicks are at 500. We'll see how long that lasts. The Bulls are failing to tank. They're 2-6, but Atlanta is 1-8. So the Hawks are still beating the Bulls to the bottom. Mavericks are 1-10, so they're just beating everyone for that top pick right now. Well, here's the thing: they've even out the bottom three now in the lottery, so it doesn't really matter, I suppose. Giannis Antetokounmpo. For the Bucks are 4-5, but he's leading the league in scoring. He's been putting up some big numbers this season.
Yeah, for sure.
31 points, 9.9 rebounds, 4.9 assists. Before we started recording, I was mentioning, you know, obviously averaging, you know, give or take, you know, 31 points and 10 rebounds, 9.9, let's say 10. And I was saying the last time that happened, I was thinking Karl Malone back in 1990 when he had the 31 points behind Jordan's leading points scoring that year. And had the 11 rebounds. Of course, last year, Russell Westbrook, 31.6 points and 10.7 rebounds. So it was actually last year. Westbrook did. I forgot Westbrook had 31 points as part of his triple-double last year. I forgot that he led the league in scoring as well. 31.6 points, 10.4 assists, and 10.7 rebounds last year. He's almost averaging a triple-double again this year, Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, which, you know, I was figured for the life of me that he... I mean, he probably would have just been a little bit shy underneath it, but the fact that, yeah, he's pretty damn close is like, okay, it could happen again. He could go back-to-back, which would be a phenomenal effort in that sense.
Yeah. I mean, over the course of his first five seasons, Oscar Robertson did average a triple-double when you even it out, but only one season. There was only one full season of actually being a triple-double across the board. Westbrook could set a new record in that respect. Has dropped to 19.5 points because obviously sharing the ball with Paul George and Carmelo Anthony, up to 11.8 assists and 9.4 rebounds. So the rebounds are down slightly, but still very close. It could happen again.
Yeah, it would be cool to see. I'll tell you that.
And the Warriors and Rockets are 7-3 piece at the top of the West. Timberwolves better at 6-3. No surprises there. They were projected to jump to 50 wins this year, and with all the improvements, they're a much improved team, obviously.
Yeah. Clippers aren't doing too bad, like 5-3, considering that they lost Chris Paul.
They did start out. They had the best record. They were, I think, one of the last teams undefeated. A lot of parity in the league at the moment, apart from, like, from top to bottom, there's the first 10 teams in both conferences pretty even, and then it really gets shallow towards the bottom, gets bad.
Could joke about the West being... weaker than the East, given that the Mavs record at the moment is worse than the worst record in the East. So
Kings are 1-8 as well. They've lost 7 in a row, so a race to the bottom there. Noticed the other day that Kevin Durant was leading the league very briefly in blocks with 2.8 a game.
Yeah, that's a surprise. I know Whiteside has missed like 5 games in that, so I know his blocks... Obviously, he wouldn't have had as many blocks and all that stuff, so...
Has dropped to 2.4. Rudy Gobert has 2.8 to lead the league as of this recording. But it's just funny. You've got Gobert, Anthony Davis, Carl Anthony Towns, DeMarcus Cousins, Porzingis, kind of averaging the 2.8, 2.1, 2.0, and 1.9, 1.8. So all the bigs averaging the usual amount of blocks. And then just out of nowhere, Kevin Durant second in the league, 2.4 right now. So it's...
This is like that Earl Boykin situation where he led the league for the first month with blocks.
And here's the thing, at the moment, Kevin Durant, 0.4 steals a game. You would think, if anything, he'd be getting all the steals with his.
Yeah, exactly.
And being a forward, a small forward, but he is, as it happens, leading the league is for the 7-3 Warriors. So just some statistical anomalies early on in the season. But I have been trying to catch more games. I'm trying to get back into it this year and really. Kind of get past some of my feeling a bit disenfranchised with the league and trying to enjoy it. So I've caught a few games and yeah, it's been fun to get back into.
Yeah, I want to catch a few more games. Obviously, I want to see a few more Heat games, Hornets, and even like the 76ers and probably even the Bucks at the moment. They're probably even Minnesota as well. They're looking interesting, like we projected. last year, well, after last season. So
76ers and Timberwolves are definitely interesting teams to watch. I've caught a couple of games with them so far, so yeah, it's been good, and there's been some more games on Foxtel. It's worth the investment to see, and of course it's good to be able to drive your interest in the video games and vice versa for the for that, because I mentioned it in an article or in forum, I think it was a forum post the other day, that back in the day when I was making the roster updates, I basically knew everyone in the league, even if just a passing familiarity of having seen their stats and their name. But there's a lot of players' names I don't recognize these days because I'm not looking through all the rosters and everything, and I've mostly been playing my career, so I haven't been controlling all those players. So
yeah,
I'm looking forward to really getting right back into it this year, and it's going to start with watching some games. And I've seen some games that have been more than just three pointers being launched, so that's been nice to see, I guess. So hopefully not as disenfranchised this year. So that has brought us to the end of episode number 227 of the NLSC podcast. A little bit longer than usual this week because we have missed a couple of weeks, had some fun topics to talk about, some news to catch up on. Probably going to be a bit shorter in subsequent weeks. We do want to get right back into the weekly schedule. Just one of those things where things got in the way the past couple of weeks. We've had a pretty good record this year, Ben. We've only missed 3 weeks so far in this year out of, what, 40, 42 weeks, something like that. So that's not too bad.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good. And I'll save my little stories from the EA trip for the next podcast, so that way we don't go on for too long.
Definitely. We'll check in with that, and it's good to finally reveal that. But yep. Hopefully everyone enjoyed this week's show. If you do enjoy the NLSC podcast, we encourage you to tune in each and every week on the NLSC. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes, get it there. You can also get it on your iOS and Android devices through the Stitcher app. Search for NLSC podcast, and that will be us. You recognize the logo, I'm sure. You can also connect with us on social media. We're on Twitter at the NLSC. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/the NLSC. We're on Instagram. Started posting on there now, Ben. We're NLSC basketball on Instagram. Unfortunately, the NLSC was taken, so we couldn't have the branding across the board, unfortunately. YouTube, of course, is NBA Live Series Center, because that's a throwback to our old full name. And the NLSC itself, NBA-live.com. Make sure you check us out on the regular for all your basketball gaming needs. We did have some downtime yesterday, but that is very a rare occurrence, and going to make sure that happens as little as possible. We're usually up and running, and we've got the forums, got the download section, our weekly articles, and the podcast, of course. Everything we do for our fellow basketball gaming enthusiasts. So that is it for this week. Until next week, I'm Andrew.
I'm Arcane.
And we're out, hopefully only until next week.